We're discussing COVID hospitalizations in the Fox Valley here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The latest numbers from the Wisconsin Hospital Association, there are more than 300 COVID patients in intensive care statewide, and the number of available ICU beds among the Fox Valley's 13 hospitals, that number is 8 beds. Do you work in a hospital or treat COVID patients? What can you say about the Delta variant and the wave of patients you're seeing? How is your healthcare team responding? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of ThetaCare, operating 7 hospitals in Appleton, Neenah, Berlin, Wapaka, Shawano, New London, and Wild Rose, and dozens of clinics. Dr. Andrabi, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Well, I just cited the latest count from the Wisconsin Hospital Association, 18 free ICU beds in Northeast Wisconsin and the Fox Valley combined. How would you characterize the COVID situation in your hospitals?
I would say things are not in a good place overall, as you talked about the number of beds available. At ThetaCare this morning, I only have 2 ICU beds in total in the entire health system. And as you can imagine, that can become quite problematic, given that not only do we have to take care of patients who have COVID, but also have to take care, as a trauma center, patients with trauma, with cardiac issues, strokes, all the other things that people are experiencing in their lives alongside COVID. So that's one issue. And then the other issue is having the number of people that we need within our organizations to be able to take care of our communities. So it makes for a very difficult situation for folks who've been at the front lines doing this day in and day out in our health system and most other health systems as well for over 500 days straight now.
Mm. We're going to talk about staffing in just a moment, but I'm wondering if you have had to divert patients from your healthcare system. Have you had to turn away critically ill patients and send them to other areas of the state or hospitals?
Sadly and unfortunately, yes. And, you know, it breaks our heart every time we have to do that, because having been in our communities for over 110 years, we are here to take care of each and every person in our community. But the situation has required us to resort to doing that. And just to say that, you know, that's not an easy conversation as well, because all of our other healthcare organizations and partners across the state are facing similar issues. So it's on a case-by-case basis, having conversations and ensuring that we have a safe transfer for somebody who needs to be taken care of.
Dr. Andrabi, early on in the pandemic, of course, PPE was in short supply. Do you have enough of the protective equipment now, like N95 masks and other equipment?
The short answer is we do. And, you know, I think we actually do an inventory twice a day, every day. We have an incident command that's been ongoing for 500 plus days, as I said. We meet on a regular basis to take account of all the different aspects of things that we need, including supply chain and PPE, to ensure safety of our people and that of our patients. And you know, fortunately, we are well stocked from a PPE perspective. But you know, in many ways, this wave of the Delta virus is very different than what we were facing back in 2020. Our issues are not so much about the PPE and testing, as you remember it was in 2020. Mm-hmm. Our issues are very different this time.
How are they different? Give us that contrast.
Yeah, so, 2020, as I think about it, you know, we were in a pandemic, a virus that was unknown. We were learning every day, trying to figure out what was going on. We really didn't have a lot of tool in our toolbox. We just were learning about the whole idea of PPE. We were learning about the idea of ventilators and face shields and, you know, masks and N95s. If you remember, those were the things that we were all talking about.
It was all new jargon at the time for us outside the medical community.
Exactly. And, I mean, we were looking in the region, we were looking across the country, we were looking across the globe to see if we could find those PPE things. And today's situation is very different. We understand the virus better. We have tools in our toolbox. I believe that there are things that we can do proactively as a community or communities across the country to be able to impact the virus and not necessarily be beholden to the virus and let it proliferate and propagate and mutate so that it can continue to come back and infect us and really create significant impact from a not only COVID perspective, but from a hospitalization perspective, and people have a lot of people have lost their lives in this process as well.
Vaccination, a key tool in the toolbox. I'm sure you'd agree. How has uptake been in the communities you serve?
So for us, I think, first of all, I would really want to thank all of the community members who've stepped up and taken a vaccine because it is one of the major tools we have in the toolbox today. So almost 52% of the folks in the Fox Valley region have received at least one dose, and approximately I would say 50% or thereby have had about both of their doses. And one of the things that we see from a hospitalization perspective is that 79% of the positive cases with Delta variant are amongst those who are not vaccinated. Approximately 80% of patients hospitalized are those that are not vaccinated. And 83% of the people that are in our ICUs with COVID are those that are not vaccinated. So this tool is clearly something that differentiates, that enables us to better, sort of combat what we are dealing with here.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, who's CEO of ThetaCare. It's a not-for-profit community health system in northeastern and central Wisconsin. As we check in on the impact of COVID on this health system that serves an 18-county region, do you work in a hospital or in the healthcare system? What can you say about this most recent surge, and how are you doing? Join in 800-642-1234. Pat is joining us from Wauwatosa with a question. Hi, Pat, go ahead.
Good morning, thanks. I'd like to know if ThetaCare has required its employees to be vaccinated, thereby setting an example. And if so, when was that policy implemented? Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Dr. Andrabi.
Hi, Pat. Obviously, the health of our team members and those of our community members is first and foremost, and we have been closely watching what's happening with respect to the emergency use authorization with Pfizer and Moderna. And now that we have the conversation that's been going on at the level of the federal government with respect to hospitals and health systems that are receiving Medicare and Medicaid dollars, having to require vaccinations. So up to this point, we have really been having a lot of conversations with our team members, highly encouraging them to take their vaccines. We have about 74% of our team members that are vaccinated. And we are looking at all of these. So we haven't mandated the vaccine as of yet for the reasons that I just discussed. But, this is an evolving conversation. And even as we speak today, we are having discussions around what next steps need to look like in light of
President Biden's mandate. What are your insights there as you watch President Biden give a mandate for organizations of 100 employees or more to mandate vaccination?
I think again, it's a touchy subject, and I understand and realize that, but I also understand and realize and see what we are all going through as communities, and then as health systems and frontline care workers. And I think the right thing to do for everybody is to really consider taking the vaccine for a multitude of reasons. One, you want to protect yourself not only from the acute effects of COVID, but you also want to protect yourself from the what's called the long COVID, because we really don't know what the long implications of COVID are going to be for you. With the Delta virus, anybody who gets infected can potentially infect another 10 to 12 people. So you are also potentially putting people at risk around you that are your loved ones and your coworkers and so on and so forth. So with all of that said, and the obviously the death rates are going up, and a vast majority of people, as I said, that are being admitted to the hospitals are unvaccinated. It behooves all of us to move in this direction. I realize that there are going to be some folks that are just not going to be eligible or won't be able to take the vaccine. But other than that, really, all of us should move in the direction of taking the vaccine.
I could only imagine it would make you very nervous if your frontline healthcare team at bedside isn't fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of there are a lot of myths out there in terms of the vaccine. There are a lot of things, particularly for certain groups of people early on. For example, younger females in the age group where they were thinking about pregnancy and those kinds of things. But as our conversations have evolved, as our learnings have evolved, it has been shown over and over again that the vaccines are extremely safe from everything that we know at this time, including in certain subgroups that were concerned about certain issues. And with that said, the right thing again is for all of us to move in that direction, for exactly what I said before. Do it for yourself, do it for your loved ones, do it for your community.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, CEO of ThetaCare, operating seven hospitals, dozens of clinics in northeastern and central Wisconsin. Have you been hospitalized with COVID or a long hauler? Have you received care since the pandemic? What's been your experience battling the disease or helping a loved one recover? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Andrabi here on the Ideas Network. We're checking in with a healthcare system CEO in the Fox Valley as the Delta variant surges. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here's President Biden Thursday outlining a broad plan to boost vaccination rates, frustrated by the nation's slow progress.
The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer.
Do you work in a healthcare setting or at a hospital? What is capacity like now? What adjustments have you made in the surge? 800-642-1234. Dr. Imran Andrabi is ThetaCare's CEO with seven hospitals in the northeastern and central part of our state. He's with us for about 9 more minutes. Dr. Andrabi, let's go into staffing a little bit further here. The shortages, you see ThetaCare sent out a call for nearly 200 nursing and nursing assistant staff on the Wisconsin Emergency Assistance Volunteer Registry. How is your health care system holding up with staffing?
So one of the things that I am most thankful for and concerned about our team members, Kate. And, like I said, it's been nonstop 500 plus days. Our people have been on the front lines taking care of the people in our communities. Today the issue is not I don't have enough PPEs, I don't have enough beds, I don't have enough ventilators, I don't have enough people. And the people that we do have are tired and fatigued, and they've been going on and on and on. So with that said, as you also know, that there is a national shortage of workforce across the industry and across many industries, and that continues to create significant issues. And my heart goes out to all our nurses and techs and other folks that are in the work every day. So we've been, you know, trying to pivot, and we've been trying to innovate as best as we can and look at other methodologies by which we can provide those services to the people in our community by redeploying team members to critical areas within our organization. We are accepting new applications for RNs, CNAs, and multiple other roles within the organization to supplement our current folks. Trying to add additional people temporarily, as you talked about, through the Wisconsin Emergency Assistance Volunteer Registry. And then, you know, looking at, you know, what can we do to offer different types of sign-on bonuses and those kinds of things so that we can supplement our current staff so that they can take care of the people in our community. But I do want to say that the best thing to do is to stop the spread of the virus. Because that is what actually helps us in all aspects of this battle.
So as you look to pivot and innovate, as you say, have you also seen a lot of overtime among your staff? I mean, what are the hours like now on these floors?
We have. And, you know, and that's what I mean by people are tired and fatigued, because when you don't have the number of people that you need, then, you know, the people that are left behind are putting in additional time, additional energy and effort. And you know, that's just difficult to see, because, you know, kudos to all of those folks who are stepping up for the sake of their community. And we need to bring that relief for them, to them, so that they can continue to be healthy and well themselves before they can take care of everyone else.
When you bring in these temporary nurses or traveling nurses, how long can they stay with you? What are those times like?
So it really depends on the circumstance and the needs on the ground. And, you know, we have utilized agency nurses in the past. We've utilized travel nurses as well. So we are looking at all different venues where we may have the potential to bring some additional relief for the people that are taking care of patients.
Earlier this year, there was a study from the Chartis Center for Rural Health that found close to half of our country's rural hospitals were operating in a deficit. Hundreds are at risk of closing. Are your hospitals in a financially concerning position?
So, you know, I would have to say 2020 was a difficult year. 2021, we saw some relief early on in the year as COVID was sort of backing off. And now we find ourselves in the similar situation in our rural communities as well. Last night, every single bed in every rural community hospital that we have was taken. You know, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on our rural communities, you know, in terms of being able to continue to live our mission. However, by being part of a system like ThetaCare, we continuously help each other out between hospitals in the Fox Valley and in our rural communities. If we have to move a patient appropriately, we will move a patient appropriately to a higher level of care. We have moved nurses from one hospital to another to be able to help each other out. So by virtue of that, you know, we've been very fortunate that we continue to support our rural communities as an entire system and not necessarily leave each hospital to fend for themselves. And that has enabled us to really live our mission across the entire 18-county region rather than, you know, doing it one by one by one.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, CEO of a hospital system in Northeast Wisconsin, serving hundreds of thousands of patients annually. Let's go to Amy now in Galesville. Hi, Amy. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I hear Dr. Andrabi stating that they are doing sign-on bonuses to get new staff, which I think is wonderful. And I'm wondering what sort of incentives they're providing for existing staff to retain them.
Go ahead, Dr. Andrabi.
Amy, that's a great question. And, you know, just like the team that is looking at, you know, what can we do to bring staff in, you're absolutely right. Retaining our staff is absolutely critical for two reasons. One, because, you know, they're the ones who know the system. And two, They are the ones who've also helped us during this very difficult time. So we are also creating incentives for staff that are currently within TheraCare in terms of creating what I would call referral bonuses. We're also looking at some other benefit design changes in the next couple of days that are going to be announced in terms of what we can do to give them some additional relief, both financially and otherwise, to be able to continue to retain our staff that have been in the foxhole, if you may, with us for a long period of time.
Amy, thank you for that call. I want to land here on masks, and many K-12 schools have returned to in-person instruction this year and have adopted different masking policies. As a physician, what would you say about wearing masks for these young people?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, as of this morning, when you look at data in children compared to June of this year, there's been a 240% increase in the number of cases in children under the age of 12, and a 24% increase in hospitalization. So I am a great proponent of let's use whatever tools we possibly can for our children, because they don't have the ability to be vaccinated today. And so masking is the second best possible way for us to continue to safeguard them. And even for the adults, and even whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, I do believe that masking in addition to your vaccination is still an excellent way of keeping yourself safe and your community safe.
Dr. Andrabi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Emran Andrabi is CEO of TheraCare, a healthcare system with more than 7,000 employees in northeast and central Wisconsin, operating 7 hospitals and dozens of clinics. Just ahead, we continue our Ask a Contractor series with advice about how to seal doors and windows properly to prevent heat from escaping your home. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.